Welcome. We're going to spend 3 weeks together talking about issues of being fruitful and how to help someone to become a disciple. Amen? It's good stuff. Quick question. When I say being fruitful, what comes into your mind or what do you feel?
Making disciples.
Feel free to speak your mind and your heart.
Making babies.
Making babies. Okay. I wasn't going there. I said feel free. Okay. Single life change. Seeing life change. Seeing life changes. Okay. What? Fruit of the Spirit. Okay. I'm going to stick with the fruit of the Spirit and helping see lives change and helping people become disciples. Amen? That is where I'm going to go a lot, and we want to discuss this together. The harvest is plentiful. And you know, it goes to say, and the workers are few. Here in Matthew 9:37, it says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Why is that? Why is that? Francisco? Not everybody is willing to do the work. Yes?
In economics, there's a saying that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people.
Okay, 80% is done by 20%. Yeah, some Italian guy did some research, and I think I know where you're going with this one. Oh, yes? What? That's not their gift. A lot of people say that's not their gift. Yes, Ron? Destruction. Distractions. Okay. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot more people out of this church than they are inside. Let me do some quick just check up on how many of us can teach the word study. Okay, how many of us can do discipleship? Hold it up. Kingdom. Sin and repentance, the cross. Okay, the rest of us, if you don't know, we find a way to do this. So the problem is not knowledge in this group. That's not a problem. From my small research, a few of us, we'll find a way to come to that. Now I have another question. How many of us can help people that are very religious? Very religious, that go to church a lot, to come to God without just following the word study. Between my house and here, I go past about 9 churches, thereabout. So how many people can discuss with people of that nature, that they go to church for some fashion, they're going to church, they have a sense of God? How many of us can do that without labeling them and saying, oh, he's religious, he's this, he's that? How many of us can use a different scripture to teach the word without using our standard scripture? Can go to another verse and just teach the word? Okay. I ask all these questions because what I want to discuss, we want to discuss today, it's not the simple basics of I can sit down and show you what discipleship and present a study. That's not what we're talking about. Presenting is not what helps people to become disciples. It's helping to move their hearts from where they are. You got to move that heart from the position you found it to a place of God. You've got to move the heart. And that is not presentation. That is a discussion you're having. But it's also listening to that person so intently that you can ask the right questions and bring them back here. And that's why it says the workers are few, because we tend to present, say, they're not open. It's not a question of... The word of God never comes back empty. It works on people's heads. But it is our perception on how to help people that I think is out of work a little bit. Many of us, how many of us were baptized in campus days, when you in your early days of campus? Teens. How many of us were baptized in the early 20s? 30s. In their 40s. 50s. We're going down that, and that's where we got to start getting them in. You see, so it dries out as you go towards that. So most people come in early. Now our version back then was quite fast and furious. I studied the Bible with someone the whole study in one day. Now he never made it, and he never showed up again. I sat with him and I was so zealous. I got to talk about God. You want to hear some more? Word, discipleship. Before I knew it, Holy Spirit, you want to become a disciple? I need to think about it. Never showed up again. And I tell you, we were wired to go after this staff. If you wish that what we're dealing with has changed in terms of the topography has changed, the climate has changed, we're not dealing with the same things. And here's why I say that. I'm trying to convert people my age right now, for the most part, right? You're trying to convert people your age right now. They think differently than when you are a young person. And so you have to walk through that. You may try to convert a younger child or a younger person, but a younger person right now has so much information. So there's a lot of sifting to do with that. So you cannot just assume that because you have the Bible, somehow they just need to respond quickly. It's beyond that. You have to understand this person and you have to let them in your life and they need to know who you are. So when I say the worker here, what are we talking about? He said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. The worker needs to know to what field he's going into. What kind of field am I going into? Because if the worker doesn't know what needs to be happening, he can make a lot of mistakes. You need to know, what am I engaging in? Who am I engaging with? What kind of a person is this? And you need to be interested in the person genuinely. One of the things why we are not effective in helping people as disciples today is we go around and says, do you want to be a Christian? Yes. Or you stand around with a card and says, can you come to church with me? You can't invite people to church anymore. I say that there are about 9 churches by the time I got here. You've got to talk about Jesus. We talk way more about church than we talk about Jesus. So that is the one thing we got to start changing. Let's not talk about the church. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about God. But to talk about God is harder than saying, can I invite you to church? That's saying, hey, how are you? I have a relationship with God that is transformative for me. It's changed me a lot. What do you mean by that? I go to church too. The first question, who is your pastor? Well, that's not a big thing in our church. We want to talk more about God. You follow that? Because that's where most people go. Where do you have a building? And they want to go that direction. And you want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about God and how that transformed you. The reason we have gotten dried out of being workers is because we've not come to a point of understanding how the ground has changed. You've got to talk about Jesus and not church. This is a Bible Belt, people. And you cannot go here, you're like you're in Siberia where you're just talking about Jesus. What is that? That's new. No. This is the Bible Belt. You got to talk about Jesus, not the church. That is people come to church as a fruit of understanding a relationship with you. So again, and sometimes you can be successful with the cold touch where you come and say, hey, just invite them right away. But for the most part, you have to develop relationships. Somebody has to know, who are you? They have to see your life. It's not enough. I mean, today, anyone will say, God bless you. And in a few minutes, seconds ago, they were cursing in the same mouth, they were blessing you now. You're like, how does that work? So they have diluted God's power, rather diluted the view of God. So you have to do a better job showing God. And that means we have to start asking that question, do we even know how to make friends? That's the next question. So how many of us know how to make friends? Let's talk about that. If you say yes, tell us how you do. Yes, tell me.
I think a big, huge part of why I'm connected to my friends is because I give them my heart and they give me their heart.
Give heart, they give your heart. Remember, this is a busy, busy place. We're busy.
Sharing your shortcomings,
your struggles. Being very real about your challenges. Yes.
You know about getting friends? Because I don't start anywhere near that deep. For me, it's like I meet somebody, go out to lunch, and maybe find out we both like gaming or shooting or whatever, crochet, and then build it from there, and then over time.
Yeah, so you can... So you can start by going out to lunch. He doesn't start that deep. And the reason I'm doing this is for purposes of understanding that there are very different avenues here. There's not one way that works on everything. There are very different ways to coming in this direction. So you can start by going out to lunch, then go shoot the game, and eventually come to a place of, by the way, what do you think about different things and start developing? So it's not a hurry. You're not rushing. But for many of us, we don't even have friends within the church. We have churchmates. But you don't have friends. You're not known, and they don't know you. You don't have people you feel okay to be around. And then you're trying to make guys help out and bring them in. You see how there's a lot of changing on how we view these things. We talk of one another relationships, and we don't take that seriously. If you can't handle that, how do you handle a guy that is trying to come in? Because that guy is way more on the left wing. The guy in the church is the easy guy. You can walk up to me and we can have a conversation. But building a relationship is different. Yes.
I can say the hardest thing for me to learn, my wife taught me, is listen.
Listen.
Listen a lot.
People want to...
Here's one mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I have interesting conversations. I have built a relationship with one teller in Kroger. And I, the other day I walked up and said, we were talking about, we never finished that conversation. He'll say, yeah, I remember that. So he started finishing the conversation. So there's a client, it's good to see you, we'll talk again. And I left. But we're building. Eventually I can call him up and say, by the way, can you, would you like to sit down for a cup of tea, whatever? It's a process. Now, I've gone the route of, hey, do you want to come to church? They just look at me and says, here goes another one. Another one can be anything they want to put on me. You follow that? But because you want to talk to this people and figure out what's going on, you got to be going beyond, I hope he comes. Now, if you read the scripture, it says ask. Does it not say that? Well, we can go further and read about ask for the harvest and the Lord will give it to you. So I have another question. So the first thing is you got to understand that you cannot help people to know God if you're in a hurry. It will not work. I can tell you that today. It'll not work. You need to connect. You need to have friendships. You need to have a lifestyle, and we'll come to that in a moment that allows you to do that. So that's the first thing. The topography has changed. It's no longer 100 meters. It's a marathon. The 100 meters, we did that in the 90s. God bless our hearts. We're back in the marathon. Does that make sense? If you don't accept that, the world has changed so much. People don't talk to each other like they used to. People walk with phones now. You got to walk harder to go past the phone. You follow that? So there's much to rethink how you build relationships and how and where you go. And we'll talk about you getting yourself in places where you can build relationships. That's one of the reasons why we're not having harvest, because we're not involved with community and with people to build any relationships. We're just in our small circle. Does that make sense? So that's one. And secondly, is how many of us pray that God lead me to an open person? So we pray. Thank you. Now, you've done one thing. How many of us walk during the day thinking, God's going to answer me? God's going to answer me. Maybe this is the person. Hey, how are you? Maybe that's him. Do you see what happens? We pray, but don't believe. So, I want to talk to this group, and I want to urge you. One of the things that has left us is the idealism of God can do it. That childlike idealism of, oh my goodness, God's going to lead me to an open person. That has left us. We're very logical, and analytical, and all that stuff, and gotten in the way of pure faith. We don't have an overflowing joy. We have an hesitance, kind of. Hey, can I? You don't want to. You kind of calculate before you reach out to that person. So, you're not radiating light. Nobody wants to be around that kind of a person, you see. So, that's why we are becoming fewer. But the harvest is plentiful. We've changed. They haven't changed. They're still lost. But we've changed. The people that are supposed to be workers, they're still lost, but the workers have changed a little bit. Got a different direction. We've not prayed and asked ourselves what's going on. And let's face another issue. We're also facing a lot of challenges in our lives, right? That can take joy, can take the energy to reach out to people. So you need to accept that sometimes you're in a tough place. You have sick people, you're going through a tough time. You don't need to feel guilty about that. You need to find a place to talk through that kind of stuff. But those of us that are in a good place, we can help. Does that make sense? And sometimes you're not very good at sharing your faith, and so you got to have someone around you, or you've got to find a place where you can do this. Does that make sense? Now, maybe you do better at nurturing, then get involved in that place more. Or you do better at moving studies, figure that out. But we got to talk about this more and more as we go forward. Okay, what's going on here? So start with your perception. Matthew 9:34-36, but the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out the demons. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So the Pharisees were critical of Jesus. Right? Question. When you see the world, what is your monologue? What do you tell yourself when you see people in the world? What's your monologue? Let's be honest a little bit. What do you tell yourself about people? How do you see people? Yes. Desperate. You see them as desperate. Yes? Lost. Not open. That's true. That's very true. We tend to see people as not open. Thank you for your vulnerability. Yes? Searching for something. They're filling it with material. They're trying to do something. Not believing in God. Yes?
It's easy to react as a Pharisee sometimes and look at the world as
We judge, we put them down, we say things like, he's just trying to use that cow to fill his emptiness. We attack them, we don't have compassion for them. We attack them, which says something about us. What is it about us that makes us so insecure that we have to attack them? Why are we not filled with God? Why do we have to tear them apart?
You can almost be jaded with the way things are going on. You yourself, you have a Christian in the jaded, and that can stop you from approaching that person and talking to them about that.
Jaded and feeling like I'm losing out on something. You see, I want to question your perception. Many of us are in the quest of securing our future. And that's good, all right? Here on earth. You're going to go to heaven, though. Amen? But sometimes in that quest, you may lose the perception of heaven and think it's all about us. So you see people as getting ahead of you, and then you struggle. You never see the other part that they need God. So you start having, and it's a gradual process. It's a very gradual process how you lose the sense of God and material gets bigger and bigger. We need that stuff, but you never want to lose that perspective of God. Yes, you need a house. Yes, you need money. Yes, you need all that stuff, but you never want to get it to drown. If you remember the story, the parable of the four soils, you never want to be choked with that soil that was being choked, right? With worries. And I think that many of us have come back to being choked. There's so much going on in life, challenges that we just chalk out of our faith. We no longer see anyone as, I can tell him about God. Did you hear me, Mary? Chalked? Chalk? Yeah, make sure. Both ways. So that's what's happening. You follow that? Yeah, we just don't seem to see people for who they are. Here's the problem we have. We've lost the discerning spirit of seeing through the deception of wealth, the deception of business, the deception of beauty, or a hanky-looking fella, or all the deceptions that people carry around, and we instead think we feel disenfranchised. We almost feel I'm wasting my time being a Christian. No! You're in the right place. Because so we don't have the right map, we also get confused in how we reach out to them. We got to get the map right. And then we can reach out to these people. That is what has left us. The people are still lost, but we've changed in the way we see things. We've slowed down. We have no passion for people. We feel like it takes too much. So it says, Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching the synagogues. It's not a campaign. He went through the towns and villages and teaching. You've got to come to that place where it comes out of you naturally. Why? Because you have a relationship with God that does that to you. You cannot do this on a campaign mode. You'll die in no time. You got to do this with God. And we'll talk about that in a moment or in the next few weeks, and I can touch on that. But part of why we've been insisting that remain in the vine is because it's impossible to keep a man or a woman quiet who's having a good conversation with God. Amen. But we have it. I know you read your Bible. Do you feel the passion? Connect to this stuff. It's like a musician playing music and they connect to that song. It's different. And you can see a guy just doing a cover song. You're like, are you all right, man? You got to sing better than that. It's different. So it was a lifestyle. It was something he did. He was going through the village, healing and touching people. 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. You've got to have compassion for people. Not judgment, not putting them down. Oh, how useless they are. Or they just think they're better than me. Why do we go there sometimes? That's the internal monologue. Tearing people down. When people are rude, we get more angry with them. They're rude because they have no God. Pray for them. Don't get off with it. Pray for them. Show compassion. Then you'll do something. Because compassion is the seed of that tells you, okay, let me touch this person. I got to do something about this. So let me ask you a question. How many of us would feel like we are full of compassion? That's a trick question. I can warn you that. I'm going to bring up another one. Paul, I like that. Let me ask another question. When is the last time you did anything for a poor person? Poor person. I'm not going to ask details. A poor person. And when is the last time you did something for a poor person and you did more than just giving and you sat there and had a conversation? And how many of us look forward to seeing a poor person? We're not many. We're not many. Poor people sometimes, depending on what you're going through, can be nagging to you. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying it can be nagging. There's sometimes when I wish I could do something, instead I feel guilty because I don't have the money. So I have to walk through that myself. You follow that? How do I help this guy? What happens? And especially during winter, oh my goodness, I would be sleeping in my house and I'd be thinking, I'm sure there's somebody out there without clothes. So how are they surviving? And I had to say, you know, I need to have more compassion than feeling guilty about it. Does that make sense? What am I trying to say? Is we got to start thinking about how compassionate are we with people that are struggling. Or normal people that are just going through stuff. Have compassion for them. The next thing to them is because they were harassed and helpless. How do you come to that place of deciding that somebody is harassed and helpless? How do you decide that? You'll have to talk to me. I'm not talking. Yes. Okay. Yes, Dan. Yeah. Yes.
Isn't everybody?
Okay. Isn't everybody? Okay.
For me, the relationship that I have is like once I get
their lives, and you see all the stuff that's going on, and just how helpless they feel. So for me, it's really getting in there and building that relationship.
Wow, helpless. And sometimes they're helpless not because they don't know God, because they're going through something. And you need to be able to pick up on that and deal with it and be there for that. Don't be so quick to help them become disciples and you're forgetting, but they're going through something. A genuine interest is, let's talk about what you're going through and let's see how I can help. Does that make sense? Don't be taken advantage of, but think through, how can I be there for this person? And I'm not trying to manipulate the situation either, but that's how you start having, see, I can help this guy.
I was just thinking, I think sometimes I feel like if you become a disciple, you won't be harassed. Becoming a disciple will be the answer all. But it's sometimes you miss the immediate needs that they have versus the spiritual need that we know we all need. So I think it's not, I'm not saying not focusing on the spiritual, but there are some physical and emotional needs that people have that can be met first. And then I think spiritual will soon follow.
Because if you meet me and all you want to talk is spiritual, but I'm really hurting, I'm like, you're not interested in me. You're interested in me becoming a Christian.
Right.
You're interested in using me.
Right.
And people can smell that from a mile away. They can listen to you and say, you know, you really don't care about people. You just care about making them disciples. That's the biggest complaint about Christianity. They don't really care about me. They just care about I made it. I came to church. People say, you don't talk to me anymore because I don't come to your church anymore. And we do. That's not right. You got to keep the door open because you never know when they decide to come. Does that make sense? So we've got to go. We've got to do a better job starting to get involved in the community and other places. And we're going to start laying that out. But thinking on how to be in connection with these people, that's when you help people to become Christians. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They need someone to talk to hear, to have conversations. And sometimes you're so much in a hurry that you don't like the guy that takes a long time to talk. You kind of give him that eye like, you know, you need to wind up. And or you say, you know, talk another day. So perception. Perception is very much formed by you. You may think you see the world as it is, but you actually see the world as you are. That's the truth. So because of that, I work hard to ask myself, God, help me to see it as it is, not as I am. The more you do that, the more you can reach out to people. The more you see things as you are, the more you give yourself reasons why you cannot help them. And let me tell you, even as Christians, we move away from the center of the cross and do different things more than others. So we got to work hard on knowing where we stand with God. That is what gives you the power to say, okay, I can talk to this person about God. I can say, I know we need to talk. Can we meet tomorrow and talk about this? I can make time tomorrow this time. And they can look at you and they say, he means it. He'll be there. So we can work on our perception. Amen. That is growth. That is changing the way you see the world. Not that you're losing out, but see it the way God sees it. You've got to come to a place of conviction that these people need God. And if you don't come to that conviction, you got to find out why. Why is that happening to me? Sometimes your own problems can stop you from seeing people that way. So these are the notes. Compassion for the lost, harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. You want to look. Those are the three things you want to have in places if you're going to help people. If you're going to help anyone to know God. An effective lifestyle. Let's talk about this. An effective lifestyle in terms of helping people to become Christians and being a worker. How can you have an effective lifestyle? How is that possible for a Christian? What?
Life and doctrine.
Self-focus.
Busyness.
Very busy.
Get off your purpose, you pursue with other things instead of the things of God.
You get off your purpose totally, just pursue other things. And you reduce your walk with God to church midweek, to church Sunday. And that's about it. Yes, Francisco?
Matching your actions with your words.
What?
Matching your actions with your words.
Oh, matching your actions with your words. That's right. That's right. You got to match that. Yep, Ms. Wood?
Worry.
Oh, that's a huge one. We worry so much. So much that it becomes a lifestyle. When we don't worry, we think something is wrong. Being a good example. You're joining, you double your life. You double in terms of when people are gossiping at work, you're really in the gossip. Oh, I heard. Then you got to go, we got to go to church. Wait, hold on. You just talked about my back a few minutes ago. And they can see how you're living a double life. You gossip about the boss. You gossip about people. You're angry. You're mean-spirited. You're not a very happy person. People around like, you're mean, spirit. You just, if you worship God, what kind of a God is this? They don't tell you. They see that. If you go in the office and you're passing comments, you're flirting, you're like, they're just looking. They're like, okay, he goes to church, okay. All that stuff plays in our effectiveness. Anybody else? Okay, I got to rush a little bit because of time. I need to finish this up. Let me explain this. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap and harvest the blessings if we don't give up. Two things. You can have a lifestyle that takes you out of community, that takes you out of people. So you have a lifestyle that goes home, home, work, church, home, work, church. When you're home, do your laundry, all that stuff, watch TV, maybe read your Bible, out you go. When are you going to meet people? Okay, you go shopping. Now you go inside shopping, you have a routine. You go Kroger here, you go Walmart here, you go that place there. There are no people there. And you always go at the time when nobody's in there. You find 2-3 people. You go in, it's less congested. So we even think of ways to avoid people because we're trying to be efficient with time. We got to become effective. Find things to get involved in. Community, school, home. Find things to get involved in. They're called ponds. Go to a gym, that's a pond. Different pond, you can go fish there. Go to a place where people like to talk, that's another pond. Be relatable a little bit here, guys. Let's not be strange. Does that make sense? Yeah. Be relatable. Don't act like, I want to speak to Peter, but he's just, oh, no, man, I'm in a holy place. I don't speak about that kind of stuff. Peter's going to look, I'm going to look at Peter and say, why are you so holy? Can we not talk about anything else? Get me right. I'm not talking about sin. Be relatable, that you can discuss issues. Am I making sense? Yeah. You can discuss a professional job. You can discuss progression issues. You can discuss other issues if they're not seen. Does that make sense? Be relatable. It's effective. So watch your lifestyle. You may be sowing seeds of that are destroying your life. So you got to ask yourself, are you pleasing the Spirit or your sinful nature? Just here, your schedule reflects what you are pleasing, the Spirit or your sinful nature. We give up easily when we live by sight. Faith keeps us focused on God. Don't give up easily. If you're going to convert mature people, you got to be patient. They have opinions. They have the way of thinking. You have to be patient with that and walk through all that. Does that make sense? And you cannot influence if they're not influencing you. Lack of personal growth. This is the final one. Let me finish here. Colossians 1:28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship with Christ. How do you present someone to God if you're not growing yourself? You have nothing to give to them and teach them and present them to God. One thing that is very clear is that if you're not growing as a person, it can get in the way. And let's face it, many of us have plateaued a little bit here. There's a plateau. We reached a plateau in our spiritual journey. We're not going up, but it seems the same. It's like eating rice every day, and you're not climbing anymore. It's not tasty. So you kind of figure out a routine. You have a conscience that tells you to stay with God, but you're not sensing God can use me. And you don't push yourself to step out of the comfort zone. You like your comfort places. Today I want to challenge you about growing spiritually and how you can change the things you want to do different. Whether it's, even it can be, it doesn't have to be about past, you can just change in your marriage, in your lifestyle, and that alone will start changing how you see the world. It can just be how you treat people, how you do things as a person, and all that can begin to affect how you see the world again. It can be a sin that you're trying to overcome. As you change that, you begin to see the world different. Does that make sense? It can be a small thing, a conversational thing, an anger thing, just a laziness thing, whatever it is, that I'll change this. I start growing. I want to talk to people about God all of a sudden because I feel victorious and I see what God is doing. Does that make sense? So personal growth comes from this, a relationship with God. You cannot grow just because I talked about it. You've got to go back and ask yourself, what do I want to study that I strongly feel I need to understand for me? Here's where I need to understand God. When you've done that, what relationships do you have within the church that are really helping you develop this growth? That you need those strong relationships in the church. And then practice what you say, I want to do that. I want to do that this week. This month I'll do that. Practice that. You'll find that you are able to tell someone about God. Does that make sense? So it's not a campaign. It's a lifestyle. So as we talk today, please think about this and ask yourself, when will I start? Don't tell yourself I'll start tomorrow. Pray about it tonight, today. Then tomorrow as you go around, ask God, lead me to someone. And if you do pray, then expect it. Go talk to someone. He may be the one. If people don't respond well, what do? My wife says you shake the dust on your feet and leave. So. Not sure it might go down well for everybody. So. Shake the head. Yeah, you don't like me. Are you trying to kick me? I'm just... It says that in the Bible, but we can't take... Here's the issue. Be careful that you don't take it personally that people didn't like you. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like the invitation. You're okay. Stop looking at yourself. Maybe I'm not well dressed. Maybe I didn't speak properly. Maybe my hair is off a little bit. We go into those nuances and become very critical of ourselves. Oh, maybe something is wrong with me. Why? They didn't even look at me. That's their problem. I invited you to your party. You didn't want to come. Good to see you, man. I'm going to call some other guy to go eat with me. How about that? Don't take it personally. We take it way personal when people don't talk to us. Or when people lie to us. We take it very personally. Now, being a minister, I say I'm a minister, everybody's very nice in my face. Yeah, that's... I'm a minister. Oh, all of a sudden, everybody behaves at their very best. I know that if I didn't have that title, they didn't care a bit. So don't get confused with that. It's about God. It's not about me. I'm telling you, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God. Focus on God and let God use you. If you get irritated when people turn you down, that is a call on, God is walking on your heart until you give it to God. Then you'll have a good time. And you can say, okay, it's good, and God bless you, have a good time, let's talk next week.